We continue on with our study, and we're thinking about this is the last Shabbat of the year. This is the last day of the calendar year 2022. I just can't help but think about how God is faithful. God has been faithful to us as a congregation through the last few years as we've gone through a lot of things, you know, with all the COVID stuff and then just everything going on in the world out there. God continues to be faithful and continues to give us mercy and grace. And it's just amazing what he continues to do in our midst here at Kol Mashiach, individually and as a congregation. So as a congregation, we're going to study his word today. We're going to get into the word of God. We want to study, we want to show ourselves approved, and we want to become fully mature followers of Yeshua. We can do that. One of the ways we do that is by reading his word and going through it together and studying it. And that's what we're doing here. We've come to the third chapter of James, Yaakov. Remember, this is the letter, one of the letters, that's being written out to the Jewish believers that are scattered throughout the world. They're outside of the land of Israel. They're in the diaspora. And you know as well as I do, we live in the diaspora, and it's not the same as living in Israel. In Israel, when it's holiday time, and I mean Jewish holiday time, everything shuts down. But here in this world, we have other priorities going on in the diaspora. And it was the same way 2,000 years ago. So he's writing to them to encourage them. He's writing to them to make them mature, fully mature followers of the Messiah, Yeshua. How to live out their faith. And that's, of course, the theme of the book. Now, we've seen so far, as we've gone through the first couple of chapters over several weeks, we're more than halfway, I'd say, through, we've seen how we can live out our faith by being steadfast under trial, because we know the trials are going to come. We talked a lot about that. When we face issues, not if we face issues, when we face issues, when we face problems in our lives, how do we deal with them? Because they're going to come up. I think sometimes foolishly as believers, we think, now that we're a believer in Yeshua, everything is going to be great. Have you ever thought that? I thought that for a couple of seconds, and then life wasn't so great. But we need to know how to handle it when trials come. We need to know how to handle it when these problems appear in our lives, and it shouldn't shrink our faith. It should grow our faith to know that God is with us through the trials, and he works with us, and he gets us through the trials. We've seen how to live out our faith by doing godly works. Chapter 2, we talked about not showing favoritism to other people. There was a whole big thing about that within the synagogue and in life. Walking out what we believe inside and displaying chesed, our theme word for the year. Loving kindness towards others. Loving our neighbor as ourselves. We're learning all of these things going through the book. And today we continue this theme, and we continue this theme of getting convicted, right? Because these words are pretty powerful. These words seem simple, but they're very hard to do, especially when we are in the thick of it out there in the world. And here we go. Today's talk is about our mouths, about our speech, our tongues, how our speech itself can shape our whole life. Amazing, right? It's a powerful instrument that can cause a lot of damage if we're not careful. But we have a choice. We have a choice to use our speech. We have a choice to use our tongues for a curse or for a blessing. So I don't know about you, but I want to be a blessing in my life, not only to the Lord, to myself, but also to other people. And we're going to see how our speech and our tongues really shows our true character, and I hope reveals the character of God in us. Let's begin with James chapter 3, verse 1. Our text today is James 3, 1 through 12. So we start with James 3, 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. That's always fun to read as a rabbi. In verse 1, we see this very, very famous admonition from James. Not many of you should become teachers. Why? I mean, isn't this a good thing to adhere, you know, to want to do, is to teach others about God? I mean, in one way, shape, or form, we as believers are all teachers. You're all a teacher because you're sharing God with people every day. When you go out there in the world, you're teaching people hopefully, the right way to live before the Lord. And people, we are examples to people. But when you get up here and you speak, whether you speak in the drash or you do praise and worship or in any form, when you're orating to people, when you're speaking God's word, we should do it with trepidation. We should do it with care, because every word that comes out of our mouths is important, and it can be used for good or for evil. Obviously, speakers, and this goes beyond just speaking on a bima or speaking at a commencement address or something. This goes for speaking, and all of us has this, speaking on social media. There's platforms out there that people are influencing others on, and we have to be very careful when we get on, even with a little quote we give or a word that we put in there with a picture or whatever. We can move people with our words. Again, the right way or the wrong way. We could change people's opinions. We can prompt people to make decisions in their lives by something simple even that we think, that we say. And that, there's power in that. There's a lot of power in that. Now, turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, the book of Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. These are Yeshua's words to us today. And we're talking about speech. We're talking about our words, right? And he says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now that should make all of us kind of pause and say, well, I need to be careful when a word comes out of my mouth, when I speak. Our speech, our tongues hold a lot of power. Now, James has been talking about this. Let's go back a couple of chapters to James chapter 1, verse 26. These reoccurring themes pop up in the book of James. James 1, 26 says, if anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, that person's religion is worthless. So with our speech, the things that we say, if we're not careful, if we don't hold our tongue, bridle, hold, control our tongue, our religion can be considered as worthless. I don't care if you go out there and you're doing wonderful things for the Lord, you're giving vast sums of money to people in need, you're going to all these countries and helping them, you know, feed them and everything. If your words are poisonous, your whole testimony is ruined. This is what James is saying. James chapter 1, verse 19, I'm not going to read it, but he says there, be slow to speech because our words are powerful. Now, let's go back to the James 3 passage. And we're going to continue to read in the text today, James 3, verse 2. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. So forget about bridling just your tongue. You're bridling your whole body. Now, verse 2 is interesting because it tells us we all stumble, that we all fall short, we all sin. And remember, in the context of our speech, we've all said things that we can regret. I don't know if there's anybody I know that has not said a word or more than a word of things that they regret and want to take it back. And you know, it's out there, right? There's all these, you know, adages and stories of once it's out there, you can't take it back, and it's very hard to get it back. So we can understand, and we can understand that we are less than perfect. But then it says, he's a perfect man if you bridle your tongue. So how can you be not perfect and also perfect at the same time? Sometimes when you read these things on the face of it, it doesn't make sense. But then we also have to understand that we're reading it in English. We're not reading it in the original. And we're not understanding maybe the context when we read it in English and not the original text, which in this case was Greek. And so if we look at the Greek word here for perfect, the Greek word is teleas, teleas. And it means, it doesn't just translate as perfect. Teleos means mature. It means mature. We don't need to be perfect believers. We need to strive to be mature believers because we know we're never going to be perfect believers. Only God is perfect. But a big way to do that, to be teleos, to be mature in our walk, is to bridle and watch our tongue. James 3 will continue verses 3 and 4. Now, if we put bits into the mouth of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Verse 4, look at the ships also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder. wherever the will of the pilot directs. So he's using a lot of great analogy for us and a lot of things that we, I think we can understand. This imagery, first of all, of a bit for a horse. If you've ever been around horses, you understand what this is. Maybe if you've ever seen movies with horses, you understand what this is. But the bits for the horse are super small, yet it can control the whole horse. And we know how sometimes difficult horses can be to control. But he doesn't stop there. He talks about a ship, right? And this could be like a huge ship. If you think of a huge ship, this small little rudder controls the entire ship. You could have ships with, well, today we have ships with thousands of people on them. How many of you are cruisers, you know, people that go on these cruises? There's like thousands of people. There's swimming pools on cruises, and there's, you know, all these crazy things. And it's driven by such a small thing that controls that huge ship. Our tongues have the power, although they are small, to control our whole body. And that's the first point today. Our tongue, our speech, shapes our character. It shapes our whole being. It has the power to completely transform our whole being. The question for us is, what is our speech like? If we think about our speech, are we a person that maybe has negative speech all the time? Are we a person that maybe likes to gossip a little bit? Or are we a person that tries, right? We're not perfect, to have positive and uplifting speech? When you speak to somebody, are you speaking words that are edifying to them, that are uplifting? Speech and our tongue, it doesn't just happen. We have to think of these things. And that's why James is writing it to us. Let's go back to Yeshua's words again to his disciples. Turn with me to Matthew, now chapter 15. Let's go to Matthew 15, 18 and 19. Now we're going to go a little deeper here because it's more than just your speech is that rudder that controls the whole ship. It's even deeper than that. Matthew 15, 18. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Just keep filling in all the bad stuff. That's where it starts. It starts with the heart. Now, there's a lot of scriptures about this. I'm going to give a few in a minute. But our speech, which controls our whole being, is driven itself by our heart condition. This is the genesis of it, so to speak. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6, verse 45. So our speech is tied to our heart condition. What is in our hearts comes out in our speech, right? You can't have the two being incongruent for very, very long, right? Somebody can lie for only very long. Sooner or later, what's in their heart is going to come out. And what comes out of our mouth sometimes can be corrupt things. And that's an indicator when we hear a lot of corrupt things coming out of hearts, out of people's mouths. That indicates a spiritual condition and a heart condition. Luke 6:45, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. This is the word of God. This is scripture here. The heart and the mouth are linked. Now, what kind of blew me away when I was looking at this and picking out scriptures is if you turn with me to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 is one of those perennial verses that talks about our salvation. It talks about our justification. How do we become redeemed by the Lord? How are we saved, as some people say? Well, Romans 10:9 tells us this. Because if you confess with your mouth that Yeshua is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. The two go hand in hand, even in the process of justification for us. Confession and belief, our mouths and our hearts. Our speech reveals our heart, and this speech shapes our whole character, okay? So there is a link, and a very strong link. So as you're, you know, you can be kind of like detectives in this. If you're watching people's speech and you're hearing people speaking a certain way, it's a good indication of what's inside here for us too. James chapter 3, let's continue. We go on, James chapter 3, verse 5. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Boy, I wish James would just tell us what he thinks, right? This kind of hits you between the eyes. He uses this imagery, a lot of imagery, but he starts off with this imagery of fire. Now, you've all seen movies where somebody lights a little fire with a little candle, right, or a match, and a careless match can set ablaze a whole house, a whole community. And I'm thinking back at there was this great fire in Chicago in the early 1900s, and it just destroyed a lot of the city. You know, you think about the Civil War when Sherman that marched down, and he marched through Atlanta and just set the whole city on fire. They had to rebuild the whole city. A small fire, a small flame can ignite so much. And obviously the imagery that James uses in these verses is not one of positive, although that could be the case as well, but it's this negative connotation. He says, the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. We have to be careful. One word, one statement, one situation can just ignite so much. We've got to be careful with our speech. Now, the Bible is all about seeking good instead of evil, right? We always have this choice, this good versus evil choice. Turn with me to Psalm 140, verses 1 through 3. And there's all these accounts in the Bible of people, various people at various stages in their lives, various levels of holiness and commitment to God. And these people cry out to God to help them to make this choice, to deliver them even from evil people. And I want us to read this passage because this ties in. When we talk about evil people, there's right there the word, the words and the speech again. So let's look at Psalm 140, verses 1, 2, and 3. And this person here is crying out to God, right? Deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their heart and stir up wars continually. They make their tongue sharp as a serpent's, and under their lips is the venom of asps. Wow. You see those words in there peppered throughout. Heart, words, speech. It's all connected. And it is powerful imagery. Now, within Judaism, we have this concept that a lot of you know, and it is called Lashon Hara. You've all probably heard of Lashon Hara. And it means, it translates out as the evil tongue. The evil tongue. Lashon Hara basically is gossiping, backbiting, spreading rumors. Lashon Hara goes so far, the rabbis say, when they talk about, and there's a lot of commentary about Lashon Hara in the rabbinical writings. The rabbis go so far as to say, Lashon Hara can also refer to somebody speaking truth, but the wrong way or at the wrong time. You know, we could speak truth. We could just go out there and speak the truth of God's word. And if we're not careful, and if we're not discerning, and if we're not acting with wisdom, we can do damage even with the words of the Lord. We have to be careful. We have to handle this with a lot of care. Because at the wrong time, in the wrong way, our words can come out the wrong way for people, and it can cause a lot of pain. So I'm going to give you a quote here from actually some of the rabbis. In the Talmud, there's a lot of talk about Lashon Hara. There's a lot of talk about what is called malicious speech, okay, and how dangerous and destructive malicious. I'm just going to give you a taste of this. There's a tractate in the Talmud, and it says, and I'm going to read two little quotes. Anyone who speaks malicious speech is considered as though he denied the fundamental belief in God. That's pretty powerful, right? I'm going to read that again. Anyone who speaks malicious speech is considered as though he denied the fundamental belief in God. And anyone who speaks malicious speech increases his sins to the degree that they correspond to the three cardinal transgressions: idol worship, and forbidden sexual relations, and bloodshed. This is like the three no-nos within Judaism. So the rabbis are equating malicious speech, that tongue that's speaking out evil things, as doing all of this destruction. Now let's go to the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 11, we're going to read from Proverbs 11 and 18. But first, Proverbs 11, verse 9. With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge the righteous are delivered. Wow. Okay, so there's a discrepancy there, right? Proverbs 18:21. Listen to this discrepancy. You've got two sides here. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Now, we want to be those that have good speech. And the fruit that is produced by good speech is powerful. But you know what? The fruit that is produced by evil speech or malicious speech is equally powerful, but not in a good way. Point number two is our speech can cause damage and destruction if we're not careful. We have to be very careful. James continues to instruct us here through the inspiration of the Ruach, through the Lord. James chapter 3, verse 9. Let's go there. We'll finish up the text today. 3, 9 through 12. Talking about the tongue, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. Ouch. Verse 10, from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. All right, you've got a salty tongue that's not going to produce the things of God. Now, the imagery James uses here are a few things, right? Figs, olives, grapes. These are the three most common agricultural products that can be found and have been found within the Judean hills. These are the hills outside of Jerusalem. Israel. Three of the most common agricultural products, and James is speaking to them. Why? Because he knew that the people would understand that. He knew that it's like today talking in computer talk to us. They didn't have computers back then. We have computers and all this technology. It's like talking in technological talk to some people today. It's understandable. We understand it. And he says, and it says this in a lot of scriptures, our lives are like trees. And trees do produce fruit, right? But sometimes trees produce fruit, if they're cared for, properly handled, they produce really good fruit. Wonderful fruit. Do you have any trees in your backyard that produce things like oranges and maybe apples or whatever? Grapefruits, I mean, those are wonderful. And you feel so good, right? I planted this in my backyard and we're enjoying it. But then you can be a tree that if we're not careful with our speech, bad fruit can come out. Rotten fruit could come out. And we all know when people produce rotten fruit, we can feel it, you know, as well as hear it and see it. With our tongue, with our speech, we have a choice what kind of fruit we're going to produce from our whole being. Okay, Psalm 34, this is a good one here. Psalm 34, verse 11 through 14. Come, O children, listen to me. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may seek good? Verse 13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Listen, you and I could have been trees that produce really bitter, really terrible fruit. And then we come to realize God. And we come and we're redeemed and we're transformed. God can redeem your tree, you know, your life, to where now you start producing good fruit. I've seen it. I've seen it in my life. You've seen it. You've probably seen it in your lives. We will see good when we keep our tongue from speaking evil and deceit. And there is a clear contrast or a choice to make here. Now, I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11, because we come to that word that we talked about a little bit earlier, and that word is choice, okay? Sometimes that's not a fun word for us, because a lot of times in our lives, especially as believers, followers of Yeshua, we don't want to make choices. We just want to be spoon-fed the truth and the right way to do it and just go about our lives. I mean, that's easier. But we live in this place as believers of choice. Whether we like it or not, whether we want it or not, we aren't given every single answer to what to do. That's where wisdom comes in. That's where discernment comes in. That's where growth and maturity comes in our lives. But this idea of a choice between good and evil, good and bad, is constant throughout the Bible. You would think we would get the picture, right? Deuteronomy chapter 11, listen to this, verses 26 to 28. When the children of Israel were coming out of the wilderness into the promised land, God is not like, hey, great, you've endured so much. Here's your promised land. Go live your life. No, he says this. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way that I am commanding you today, to go after other gods that you have not known. And I think it's on purpose that God did not have them fully drive out all of the Hittites and the Jebusites and all the Ites in the land, because he wanted them to continuously remember this idea of choice and how even today, you and I have a choice, good or evil, life or death, blessings or curses. We have a choice to make with our speech. Now, this is a very short verse, but I think it tells us a lot. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. Let's go there. And as usual in the Bible, things are kind of right out there for us. So you get the imagery is pretty stark, right? And the contrast, the choice is very evident in this verse. Proverbs 12, verse 18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. Now that never is a good thing, okay? I know that, right? There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Now, I'd much rather have healing in my life than that pain that we just read about. There's a choice. What do we want our words to be? A curse or a blessing? Sword thrusts or healing? I don't know about you, but I want my mind to be on the healing side, on the blessing side. I want to be a blessing to the Lord, and I want to be a blessing to others and to myself. Point number three, choose to be a blessing with your speech. It is a choice. Even as believers, we still revert back to the bad side. We have to watch ourselves. That means with our emotions, with our actions, with our decisions, but with our speech as well. Listen, there's no shortage of speech out there. There is no shortage of opinions out there. I'm going to be completely honest with you. Sometimes I get very discouraged. I get discouraged when I read things from people in the body of Messiah, and it's not even evil, malicious talk, but it's all of these opinions and all of these things. And it's great to have opinions. It's great to have theories, but we need to know that we don't know it all. And I think sometimes with our speech out there, we act like we know it all. So we have to be careful that even with our speech, there's a humility about it. There's a care. There's a maybe a think before you act or think before you speak, before you put that podcast out or that blog or that social media post or whatever it is, anything, before you speak to the people in your house or the people at your work. So many words are being spoken every day. Let's purpose to make our words be blessings. Let's purpose to make the truth come out at the right time, in the right way. And you know what? Sometimes speaking truth, when it's the right time in the right way, I'm not saying it's always going to be pleasant for people. We want all pleasantries all the time. Sometimes people need to hear a word of encouragement or blessing, But sometimes even speech about truth to them that they don't want to hear can be redemptive if it's done in an edifying and godly way. And that means being prompted by the Holy Spirit to say it. That can be blessing as well, in a sense. Because ultimately, we want to be a blessing with our lives, with our everything about us, including with our speech. Let's pray. Lord God, we want to be a blessing to you. We say we love you, Lord God. Let's put our money where our mouth is. Let's put our lives where our speech is, Lord. And I know this is a challenge for all of us, including me, Lord God. Help us to watch every idle word. Help us to watch everything that comes out of our mouth. And help us to tune in to the Spirit of the living God, to you, Lord, and allow you to direct us, even with our speech. So I just pray, Lord, as we come into 2023, as we are trying more and more to be perfect people, meaning mature believers in you, as we're trying to display chesed in all of our life, in all of our endeavors, may we purpose to be a blessing to you, ourselves, and others, even with our speech. Help us, Lord God, encourage us, strengthen us in this, and guide us and direct us as we go through this life and we try to more and more every single day be more mature and be a blessing with our speech even. We thank you and praise you, God, in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen.